Hey, y'all. This whole thing started as a group of friends playing Dungeons & Dragons saying, hey, let's record. Maybe other people will enjoy sitting at the table with us. The fact that you're here listening to us play D&D will never fail to be wild to me. If you like what you hear and you want to peek behind the door, I invite you to join our Patreon. By contributing to the Patreon, you can gain access to exclusive, handcrafted content, while also helping us pay for things like podcast hosting and logo designs. It's tough out here. On top of that, each subsequent tier allows access to the previous tier's rewards. The $2 tier grants you the title of Honorary Son, while giving you access to the patron-only Discord channel and a bonus entry into our giveaways. The $5 tier knights you as a hero of the Ten Towns, giving you early access to our episodes and access to our patron-exclusive one-shots. The $10 tier elects you to Ted Johnson's cabinet, which opens the cover to Fang's detailed note-taking journal and lets you know of future Sons projects currently in the works. Thanks for everything you do, Patreon aside. Without you, we wouldn't be here. The link to the Patreon is in the link tree in our Twitter bio. We hope to see you out there. Thanks for listening, and stay frosty.
Hello, and welcome back to Severed Sons Presents Rolling in the Netherdeep, and we're excited to bring you a brand new tale adventure in the lands of Wildemount or Marquette. My name is Ron Murphy, Dungeon Master, and I'm on some really good cold medication right now because I've had COVID, but I'm better now, and we're here. So around the virtual table, we have...
Hey everybody, this is Bill, and today I'll be playing Orgoth Skull Crusher.
All right, I'm here.
I hear him, Dad.
Hey, everyone, this is Jaden playing Lapis.
Is this going to be one of those episodes? Yeah, it always is. So.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ross playing Wilvin Grandmain. I think I have a little delay here on the audio today. We've taken steps to fix my audio moving forward. Thanks, Bill. Welcome.
Hi everyone, this is Dad. I mean Jamie, and I'm playing North.
Daddy.
And we were back. We were out last week, but we are back this week to bring you some new adventures. Is there anything we need to talk about before we dive in? Let's just do it. If everyone is ready, let's begin today's episode of Rolling in the Netherdeep, episode 64. The Cellar Path. So last time, just the very end of the last time, North, you sent a message to Gals to warn him about the information that you had picked up. And you're currently with, you're with Prolix. Mm-hmm. And what was the message that you sent Gals?
Oh, I sent you that in DMs.
Oh gosh, that was a while ago. So,
you know the gist of it.
I know the gist of it. And back, you get, that's very nice, but we have a problem down here. Please come to the wine cellars, Carl Krug. We need some help. Maggie has fallen. And
Prolix is just getting a very quick thanks, and I am out. I have the sending stone out.
Okay.
You guys, we don't have time to go to bed.
Who do you send it to? Well, you can send it to all
the group chat. The freaking group chat.
To the group chat, okay.
I'm not hitting one person in particular. I'm just, like, sending it into the ether.
Lapis, you get this as well.
Maggie's fallen. They're in the cellar. They're in deep shit. We gotta go. You know what? Unless you want them to die, but that's gonna be a word limit.
Where are the rest of you? You're back at the Cool Flame. Is that correct? It has been 2 weeks.
Yes. Cool Flame.
Yeah, I remember. I remember I just slipped out at some point. Yeah, so you just kind of like slipped back out
and came back. Okay. So Wilvin and Orgoth, you are you're back at the Cool Flame, and you there's suddenly this kind of weird, like, you're in the main corridor, and like kind of coming down the stairs to the tap room, and you see this kind of weird vibration in the air, and this weird kind of whoop, 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 noise coming from it, and the it was Erdian Bearheart, the dwarf who was on duty tonight, and he immediately draws a battle axe and comes over to it. And then suddenly, and
Orgoth will take a stance, like on the other side of it. He's ready to. If something's coming in, it's going to go down.
And suddenly, it opens up, and you see Lapis standing there in the portal, and you hear a voice coming from beyond, and it says, "May good luck and good fortune find us again, and soon." And then suddenly in the distance, you hear this giant roar. Rah! And he's like, and suddenly, and Lapis, you step through, and the portal quickly closes.
Oh, no, it's okay. She's with us. She's with us. It's okay.
I recognize one of the favored few. But
I think.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I think that Wilvin was just, like, sitting there the whole time, like, probably, like, a pipe in his hand. Like, I think he kept his cool for that entire thing. He honestly probably thought that he was the only one who could see it happening for a second, thinking it was his dragon. But, so he was, like, super cool guy sitting at the table, like, still smoking the pipe as she, like, walks through this portal, this loud whatever portal.
He just looks at his ale and then just, like, starts to slowly drop it like he's gonna quit.
Right.
The dwarf kind of, like, his knuckles are red from gripping the hilt of his axe, and finally he just relaxes. And he's like, do not like magic. And he just goes back to his position next to the bar.
Well, damn, guess you don't like me.
I don't have have the puppet up because Wilvin's, like, his, Ross's little, like, image is actually kind of cute, so. But I can put it up in a second.
Aww. A little chest showing.
Let's see, puppet up.
Some chestitude.
There we go. Okay.
I'm sorry,
it's one of these days.
I need to make up for my lack of not being here last time.
Love you for that.
Okay.
So what did I miss?
You just see Wilvin, Orgoth, and there's like it's half full right now. It's a little bit, it's evening, early evening here.
North around here too? What's going on? I kind of just disappeared.
We were going into the tower to talk to, I don't know, some kind of weird, sketchy guys. They're the, Bill forgot, Guardians of Memory or something like that.
Sentinels of Memory.
Sentinels of Memory, that's it. And we talked to this guy, Watcher Trast, and we kind of came to an understanding that they would help us with what's going on, to keep us informed with the mages,
with the Cerberus Assembly, and we would kind of, you know, work with them, and they'd stay out of the under the Netherdeep area, the under the Kalmaro. And I joined their organization to seal the deal. So I traded a memory with that guy to do that. And so there was that. And I think we went and saw Asta too.
So
Wilvin can tell you that part, because Wilvin was like bad cop and bad cop, I think.
Bad cop and bad cop. Who was the good cop?
Well, it wasn't so much. It's a certain technique that I would use in my Dwendalian days. It's not really. We don't really have a word for it. It's just kind of, you know, the Wilvin, and he like twirls his mustache a little bit. He's like, I don't call it that, but yeah, that's
some people. We could call it the Wilvin if it doesn't have a name.
Oh, yeah, I like that. That's good. That's kind of what you missed.
So we're trusting people not to go down with via their word. We're trusting a whole organization that they're just going to do this.
Well, they had countless, presumably, archers and sentinels of their own pointed right toward us for the whole meeting. So we took what we could get.
All right.
Yeah, but they seem to be pretty like honor bound. If you would do this. This like joining up oath memory thing. So I did it. So I think we're okay. Should be fine.
And at that point, North, okay. You come in.
did you guys get the message at all?
Yeah. That's why I came downstairs, but Lapis just showed up. So now everybody's here.
Hey.
Hey.
So your boyfriend's down there as well. Their tank is probably dying at this point. So,
So Vamoos, let's get out.
Yeah, you could tell us what happened with you on the way. Quick, so fill us in.
Spike.
Yeah.
What way to the Krug's fucking winery?
Carl Krug's. Yeah, I can show you the map. Okay, and he takes a pen, marks it on your map.
Is it super far?
It's in the Alluvium District, so it is kind of super far.
Okay.
It's all the way to northeast corner
of the city. Take a freaking carriage, I guess, and pay a bit of extra if they're gonna ignore the speed limits. Just give it to me fast and furious.
Okay.
Too fast, too furious. Let's go.
Yeah.
I want to Tokyo Drift in these streets.
You get
to Tokyo and Drift.
I have zero clue. These words just flew out of my mouth. I'm blaming the sword.
Let's focus on finding a carriage first.
A carriage pulls up. God, I was like, about to say, I can't remember any of the characters' names from Fast and the Furious, so that's. I don't know who this character is, but
Vin Diesel.
just call him Vin.
Din.
Yeah, just straight up Vin.
Din Diesel. Okay, Din Diesel.
There it is.
Yeah, Din Diesel. The carriage driver pulls up. It's like, need a lift?
100%. Thank you.
Hop in and hold on. You look like you're in a hurry.
Here we're family.
We're going to take the long way around, take a lot of jumps over like some of the canals. Just hold on.
Are you okay? Lapis, where did you go?
Can't talk here.
It's actually quite nice to drive, so.
Willen's ass is leaving the seat.
Holding on. It's not a nice ride, Ron. It's a ridiculously bouncy ride.
Yeah. There's oh shit handles, all like four or five oh shit handles. Like there's one in the middle of the roof. Yeah.
Just fucking holding onto that for dear life. And just like when you get out, just kiss the ground. And I'm going to, how much for that ride, I guess?
Four silver.
Oh, just four silver, okay. Yeah.
I do it for the practice. You know, I've got a race coming up this weekend, so.
If I were alive, I'd be vomiting.
Oh, God. All right.
Do you race? Okay, never mind. We'll talk later about that.
Talk later.
We gotta go.
The winemaker's, the Brug Mansion. This is a really nice, there's like a stone wall. There's a hill with trees surrounding this really like one story mansion, like spread out. Gorgeous, gorgeous. There is a guard at the front gate, sees you come in. He's like, yes, how could I help you? It is late in the evening.
Yes, of course. We have received a message from a group of adventurers that were hired by this family, and apparently they are in dire need of help. We're just looking out for friends.
One moment. And he's says something over the stone wall to a guard on the other side who runs up the hill. And the comes back immediately. He's like, we recognize the champion. You are the favored few.
Yes.
Please come in. And you see this orc come out. He's got this, like, a big barrel-chested guy. Has a robe on. And he comes down the hill halfway to meet you. And he's like, yes, Karl Brug. Karl Brug's the name. I sell and make wine and other things.
And hire adventurers, yes.
And hire adventurers, yes. Io's folk, right?
Yes.
My guard tells me that they're in trouble and you're coming to their rescue.
Yeah, if you could direct us where they are, like, we want to make sure we, we get there fast.
I'll show you to the cellar. 1 second. And he takes you around to the back. And there's a, it's sort of like a storm cellar kind of looking place where it's like, it's not attached to the cellar is not attached to the house. It's like off to the side and you go down, you see a door and there's a guard on the door. And the orc nods at him and he opens the door. And just continue down the steps and you'll see the damage that the rockfall caused the sinkhole did. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to see the direction they went. Do you know anything? Are they in trouble?
You remember the big ogre, Maggie?
Yes. She was quite sweet, actually.
She's in big trouble. If you have anything that can help us.
Like what? I have, my guards have, you know, any of the weapons my guards are carrying.
She's in need of healing.
I think I've got, he like goes up to one of the guards and goes like, pulls a red pouch out and hands you like, there's like two healing potions in it. He's like, here, take this.
Okay. If you want to be proactive as well, I might just suggest maybe getting a cleric or something.
I'll send for somebody. This must be a dire emergency then. I hope
she's otherwise.
Okay. Please be careful down there. I know that since the sinkhole happened. I don't know like what it's connected to, but they told me they hadn't seen any creatures or anything recently, so nothing that they couldn't handle is what Io told me.
We'll keep an eye for that.
He nods, and the guard takes a key off of his key ring, opens up the storm cellar, pulls the door, wide door open, and you just see like barrels and racks with wine bottles, like just completely. And there's a little pathway leading back and kind of sloping down under the ground, and immediately the air gets cold and you can kind of feel a chill as you walk down further and further. And you feel wind coming up from the direction you're headed. Everybody has dark vision, correct?
Oh my god, Lapis doesn't have it, right?
No. I do not.
Okay. What kind of light sources are you going to have for Lapis?
I also don't have.
Nor we have these, okay.
There are torches down here, like on the wall.
I have a hooded lantern.
I have dancing lights if it gets dark.
Okay.
That too.
As you step into the room, a couple of torches actually light up magically and light up the main area. But in the back, you see where there was this wall that used to be there, and the ground underneath gave way and just collapsing the wall. And you see just like an open area, and you just see a long, long dirt slide going down like at a 45 degree angle. And it just seems to go down into darkness as far as you can see.
Hey, remember when that, you know, like that one, task hand Thales, if you will, had some, apparently gave me like 200 feet of silk rope. That might come in handy.
Yeah, let's tie it off up here somewhere.
Oh, true. There's a few inches missing because of someone tying a bow on someone's feet. Yeah.
You notice that also down here, to the right of, like, this is a straight ahead. To the right, you see an area where there's like these like glowing kind of purplish lights. And he's growing vegetables.
Good.
Like the Zorhasian vegetables. Orgoth, you recognize some of these. These are like, basically, we're definitely like they're famous in the Kryn Dynasty for like their the drow cuisine.
Fancy. I mean, here fancy, but over there not that much.
The guard says, "I'm closing the door. Knock when you return." And phew, ching ching, as the lock gets locked.
Okay.
Okay.
Wilvin?
Huh?
Eh? I heard you.
Has somebody done a lot of like
when the door locked?
Yes.
More outdoor like experience for we should tie this rope off somewhere if we're gonna use it to go down, right?
There's big barrels.
Tie the rope and just feather fall down, I suppose.
It's kind of like it's at a 45 degree angle, so feather fall may not work because you gotta go out a little ways and just fall back down short ways. Yeah, it's not quite a straight drop yet.
All right. Well, Orgoth's going to look for a place to tie this rope off.
There,
since no one's volunteering their massive outdoorsy skills, I'm going for it. I got to get down there.
Don't have much outdoorsy skills, okay?
Look at my arms; they're weak. Oh no, you can't see them. They're underneath my robes. take my word for it.
There are big barrels of ale, and there's also like iron racks where the wine bottles are in. So any one of those would be heavy enough that they would.
Yeah. If I see, are the racks it like attached to the walls or are they just there?
Some of them are. There are ones that are closer to the door that have the cheaper bottles of wine, but there are heavier ones that are attached to the wall.
All right. I'm going to find the heaviest, most stable thing I can closest to where the slope goes down. Mm-hmm. So we have maximum rope down, and I'm going to tie it off.
Okay.
Do the big loop.
Make
tie it tight.
Make a survival check.
Survival check. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm sure this will be great. Hell yeah. 16.
Okay. You get that rope tight and got the silk rope. And what order are you going to go down this slide?
I don't mind sneaking ahead.
I'll go right after.
Okay.
I'll go third, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm in the back, but I'm doing it. Let's go.
Yeah, if that rope snaps and Orgoth falls on any of us.
Oh God, we're gonna die.
Here, you guys, you start, and I'll hold the rope as well. Yeah, you start, and then I'll give you like a count of like five, and then I'll come just in case.
Okay,
I'll help hold the rope,
and you start working your way down.
Down.
Make a survival check with the rope. The DC is low, and also you make this an advantage.
With the rope? Survival?
Yeah.
Can it be athletics or acrobatics?
It could be acrobatics, yes. Well, if you just want to slide down, like surf down, that would be...
Oh, yeah, I want to...
Yeah.
Get rope burn.
I have gloves. You said... Was it an event that I brain farted? Advantage low DC. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would be 27, my dear.
Oh, easily. Lapis, make a perception check as you're working your way down. Everybody else make that roll, too.
That's a straight roll, though.
I was going to say, I had a 21 for survival, so good, at least good. I make it.
Yeah.
That's what I rolled.
What is the dude, double 20?
A 19 and a 20.
What?
So I'll take the 20.
Nice.
Damn. Once I come down.
That was big 12. There you go.
Wilvin, what'd you get?
14?
Okay. The, so you're working your way down. What was that perception check, Lapis?
Oh, sorry. I had said my survival, but I did not say my, my perception. My perception was only a 15.
Okay. You look over to the side, and it looks like part of the, like, where the dirt had fallen away. You look over and you see what looks to be, like, these little gravestones for pets. Like years ago, and, like, there's, like, five or six. It's, like, the family graveyard for their animals.
Like,
and you see, but you see they got disturbed, and there's, like, dog bones, kind of like...
No! As soon as I can, I'm gonna head over there.
Yeah, because it's just, you kind of like, just over to the side.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over there, and I'm going to cast, I'm gonna cast Animate Dead.
Okay. So, how many can you have? Skeletons?
Let's see...
These are tiny.
Get you so many puppies.
Yeah, I would honest. It's I.
Is there anybody else in the cemetery like mourning?
Is it like catacombs or something? Like it's underground?
Yeah, it's like underground. It's like it's just basically like it looks like it got kind of like disturbed when the cave-in happened. So it's like,
got it.
All right, so I with this one, I'm only able to do one, but I also have my arm. I could also just use my arcane recovery to get another one to get two puppies.
Well, okay. You get, okay, you have your choice of, as you're kind of like sensing, you're sending out the necrotic energy into the ground. You get, there are 5 dogs, 2 cats, and a marmoset down there.
That marmoset is tempting. I will do.
Oh, we got echo now.
We got echo from.
It's coming from Ross. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Just trying to fuck with my sound.
I'm gonna do the 2 dogs.
Okay.
I'm just gonna do the 2 dogs.
They are actually Rottweilers. it's like, phew, they pop up and can look at you. Rawr.
Oh, look at the babies.
And skeletons, you know, like.
Oh, their little tails do, like, when they wag, they do, like, a little, like.
Rattle, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Do they have at all collars?
They or do have collars.
Tombstones say names.
Yeah, we need some names for these dogs. How about Butch and.
Oh, come on.
No.
Rocky and Balboa.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah. Rocky and Bullwinkle. What was that?
Butch and Cassidy?
Butch and Cassidy.
That's perfect. Do it. Yeah, let's write that down. Butch and Cassidy. Okay. and they just follow you, like, kind of, they are, as they're following you down the rope, and, like, you're working your way down the rope, they kind of, like, slide a little bit, and then they catch up, they slide past you, and then they, like, try to catch back up to get up to where you are, and then they slide down the hill some more. This slope goes pretty far. Like, you're like, it takes you a good 30 to 40 minutes to get down to the bottom of it.
Does the rope run out pretty quickly?
Yeah.
Basically?
I still have 50 feet of hempen rope that we can tie to it again.
Wilbin has a pole of collapsing, so he'll take out, like, a little foot-long pole thing and click a little button, and he'll extend it to the point where he can kind of use it as, like, an oar as he goes down against, like, the wall and the floor a little bit, just to, like, slows his progress.
Okay. Anybody else do anything? You're just attaching the more rope to it?
I'm just putting, like, train tracks in front of the train.
Okay. Everybody make another survival check, and...
It's gonna be bad.
Is it still an advantage, Ron?
Yes. No, okay. Because there's no rope. There's no rope, so not an advantage anymore.
We've run out of rope.
Yeah. A 3?
A big 3.
Okay.
12.
I'm at the front!
13.
22.
Lapis, the dogs kind of come up to you, and you just see all 3 of your party members just kind of, like, bite it and start sliding down the dirt, like, dirt, this dirt kind of being thrown up into the air. It's 45 degrees angle, so it's a slide, so you're not really taking any damage, and there's not any, like, it's dirt. It's like,
everybody tuck your knees in.
Look, it's just damaged pride, okay?
Yeah.
It's
you're getting fine. Like dirty dirt up in your clothes and everything. Both the Butch and Cassidy look up at you like, "Rawr."
It's okay. They do this all the time.
We're professionals, damn it.
Lapis, you make it down, no problem. And Orgoth, Wilvin, and Norris land in a heap at the bottom, just completely covered in. Like, by the time it gets to the bottom, it's, like, moist dirt, so it's a little muddy.
Wait, I was first, so I'm under the pile.
Yeah.
Just entirely flattened pancake.
The fucus is,
You're probably just getting up, because I waited before I came down, and then you're just, oh, look out, look out, look out!
Feet swept from under.
A fucus is like, left, go left, go left!
Which left?
The and Lapis comes down, is completely clean.
You guys did good.
Thank you. We tried.
So which way from here?
It seems to there's a little bit of an area where it's not really a passageway, but it's like where the earth has kind of like cracked. There's like a opening ahead that's sandy. And you see, it looks like somebody strong has placed large boards that were probably part of the wall up in the cellar into the passageway, kind of shore it up to keep it from falling in on itself. And it looks like out of the five people of the rivals, it would have had to have been Maggie had the strength to do this. And the passageway just kind of like, it's a very, Morgoth, you might have some problems squeezing through.
Hey, if Maggie could do it, Orgoth could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I figure I'm just going to try to follow in Maggie's very large footsteps to get through wherever they got through.
Yeah, you see some like parts on the seat, because it's kind of like Maggie would definitely probably hit her head a couple of times, like scraped it. And you make it through this little corridor, and you're seeing these footprints, actually two sets of footprints. You see the rivals' footprints as they like go out and come back and then go. So basically three sets of footprints as they go in, left, and then went back. So
three sets?
Yeah, because they went in.
Oh, okay.
They came back out to get climbing gear, and then they went back in. So it's all of them. And this corridor leads to a larger area, an opening, where there's wide fissures in the ground. Like, it looks like the whatever, the earthquake or whatever happened. Like, the ground is split in a lot of areas, and it's like a web of fissures. And some of them are, like, wide enough you can climb down. But it kind of goes off in all different directions.
Hmm. I'm going to try something.
Uh-huh.
I have an earring of message. It's just 120 feet.
Right.
But I'm going to try to point in that general direction and try to send a message to get it, like, just to get a ping back.
Okay. There no...
Okay.
No message. Everybody make a perception check as you look around the chamber.
Sixteen. Eight.
My nat one plus five is six.
Okay.
So north. The other side of the coin.
There we go.
As you're looking around trying to like get that message spell to ping something, you look down one of the fissures and you see kind of far down, deep, you see a glow. There's like a golden glow.
Golden glow, like
it's just sort of warm glow. Like a light spell of some sort, possibly.
Light spell, okay. Or that could also be an anglerfish.
You're not underwater yet.
No, but you know.
Anglerfishes are known to just be casts. In land.
It'll cast dancing lights and send them 60 feet down. They just look like little there's like no outline to them. They're just like little amorphous like moonlight balls. Yeah. And they'll just they'll move down the passageway to see if
it kind of like go that you send them down the fissure and you can see where handholds have been made. Like you can see one of Maggie's great hands against the wall, a handprint kind of into the dirt. and it looks like they climb down this fissure.
Tracks go this direction.
All right, well, let's go.
It's easy. It's a little bit, you know, it's getting dusty and dirty again. You get down into, like, you get down to the fissure, and it's sort of like you're at the bottom, like the fissure kind of goes off in one direction, and you can see where the tracks go. But at the bottom, you see where the light is coming from. There is a symbol of a dodecahedron kind of drawn into the wall. And it's glowing.
Dermot. That's a mark from Dermot right there.
Mm-hmm. So we're going the right way, at least, yeah? Okay, good.
Just keep an eye out for other markings like that.
Okay.
Just
got a dagger in his hand.
Yes.
Dermot, Io, anybody, can you hear us?
And Wilvin has a dagger in his hand. I heard that. Echoes kind of goes through the fissures. It's kind of the sand is kind of muffling your voice, so it doesn't really echo. It just sort of like dead. You can kind of feel a cool wind coming through the fissure, and like you hear a whistling noise in the distance, but no answer.
Well, they're not close enough to hear us.
Or they're not in good condition enough to respond.
All right, yeah.
Time to press forward.
You travel for... Go ahead, I'm sorry, Wilvin.
On your guard, we heard.
Just on your guard.
Yes.
You travel along, and the fissure kind of like splits off, but every time, about 10 minutes later, you get to an area... And you see where there's a light, another light. And you find another dodecahedron kind of pointing the way. And there's about four of these you run into. He left a very, very, very good trail. After the fourth dodecahedron, you find this really tight, it's kind of going into more of a hardened rock face. And goes into the cliff, and right before you get to the rock face, you see like scuff marks on the ground where like fighting must have taken place. And you actually see along the black of the dark stone, you see sticky wisps of like a white thread kind of hanging. Hanging off of the cliff face, it's sort of like just like, but the passageway continues through. You don't really see blood, like humanoid blood here, like the rivals must have taken care of business, or scared them away. But you do see some marks in the sand by some sort of insect, large insect.
I'm going to pop out a fucus at this point.
Okay. Hey, how's it going?
Go ahead.
You worried about a little spider?
Worried about what's coming next?
Don't worry, I got your back. You head in through the crevasse.
We can't hear you, Ron.
Hello?
Hello, yes. Oh,
there we go.
Okay. There we go.
That's weird. You head into the crevasse?
Ross, did you have something that you wanted to point out before going into the crevasse?
Nope.
Okay.
It is a chaotic day, friends. That's what it is here on Severed Suns D&D.
So you head into the crevasse is what I was asking. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. You make your way through the hardened rock, and the path kind of circles back. So, like, you feel like this whole path down is that you're, is kind of spiraling, like kind of keeping kind of contained underneath the manor house. But you kind of spirals back and you hear the wind, whistling wind get louder and louder as you approach it. And you come out of the fissure and you are onto a, an open area that overlooks this vast darkness. And you just hear wind, maybe the sounds of like a stream or a waterfall, dripping, water dripping. And you can definitely, there's like echoes here. The cliff's edge where the fissure comes out, there's enough room up here where maybe they've made camp here, but they, broke camp quite nicely, didn't leave anything behind. However, you eventually find pulleys and ropes, and you see five ropes that are like tied off, tightened, like leading over the edge. And you look down, and just like just they go, and it's like these are like really. Like, they came prepared. These were probably, like, 500 feet ropes at least. It's just going as far as you can see.
So down, I guess.
We got our path all traced out.
What you gonna Orgoth's going to look at them and try to find the one he figures Maggie took, because it's probably the rope has extra pitons that have secured it and whatnot. The
rope is thicker.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like knots in it. So
yeah, he'll use that one.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, we gotta keep going, right? We gotta find him.
Okay, I'd like everybody to make an athletics check if you're climbing down these ropes. Make survival check first. As you're looking at all the stuff that's sort of like around where they set up.
15.
18. And for survival.
Natural one. Lapis and North, you find what appears to be secure lines, like it's belaying lines, where you can kind of like it's like you attach yourself to the rope and you're able to like grab onto it and kind of like belay yourself down, as opposed to like climbing hand over hand.
And I do have a climber's kit.
Yep. So you have extra of these. So,
the dogs are made out of bones and bones are very light. So I'm just going to add them on top of me, kind of like with ashes.
Okay. Ashes kind of looks at them, licks one of the butch, and then
don't eat them.
Do you need help carrying your dogs, Lapis?
I think they're all right.
You know what? I'm not as unsettled by these as I was with the zombie.
Oh, please tell me that whenever the dogs walk, though, they do little xylophone, little do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, totally, yes.
Hell yeah.
It's that kind of thing.
Okay, cool.
The
woman has kept a distance from the dogs. I think they're a little unsettling. But he's grown used to it. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't.
They're
try
not
to,
as
like,
bad as the like. They're not as bad as the naked zombie we had a while ago.
I miss him.
Exactly.
Yeah. As you set up these belaying like safety cables, basically, you look up and you kind of see a hole. There's like the ceiling of the cavern is not that far, maybe like 70 feet above you. And you look and you kind of see a hole where it looks like something, maybe the sinkhole. This is like the terminus of the sinkhole. Like, so, and you look around and you see where like loose dirt from the sinkhole is just kind of scattered on the edge of the cliff, top of the cliff. you start making your way down. No survival check. Let's rebel. Yep. Yeehaw. Yep. No survival check needed as you're making your way down. The you start kind of like getting lower and lower, about 200, 300 feet. And you notice that it's starting to swing a little bit. And like you're not sure, there's not really much of a wind that you're feeling. But give me a second. Okay. You get down and you see a, like the ropes seem to be attached to something. Like it looks like they come to an end. And there's like this white substance kind of reaching out to them at a kind of a right angle. You're about maybe 30 feet above. What do you do?
What is this, spiders?
It Silk looks worms? Like webbing. It looks like webbing. It's attached to the bottom of the ropes.
And Wilvin uses his long sword to like kind of get a sample.
You're about 30 feet. You're about 30 feet above. You climb down to where it's attached.
Oh, I guess sending out some dancing lights first.
You go down, and the lights kind of float down. And to get to where the ropes, the webbing is attached to the ropes, the rope goes about maybe 20 feet past, and it looks like they've been sheared, like they're fraying. And then suddenly you hear this coming from the darkness on the cliff wall.
Back up, back up, back up.
And then these creatures that look like kind of like spider, but they're humanoid, and they have like these pincer hands, they leap out at the ropes, trying to climb up the ropes, chasing you. Roll initiative.
Oh,
oh, that's gonna be fun logistics.
Yep.
It's been a while.
Okay.
All right, I don't know if you've been keeping an eye on the
I have not. Yeah. I have chat or
the Zoom chat.
Oh,
just letting you know.
Okay, North, what do you get?
We all wrote them there, but like 13.
Oh, 13. Lapis, what do you get?
17.
I have to type them in. Orgoth.
13.
13. Wilvin.
11.
11. Okay.
They're all not terrible.
Lapis, what do you do?
And they're trying to climb up the ropes.
Yeah, they're actually just now leaping to the ropes. That's what they'll be doing this turn.
Does it seem like they know how to climb at all?
They look kind of vaguely spider, kind of like they look like the webbing is covering them a little bit, like touching them.
Firebolt.
Firebolt, one of them. Okay, there's four of them total.
All right. Fire spreads, it's fine.
Rolled a hit.
Okay. That is a 19.
Okay. I'm sending you a picture of them. Okay. 19 hits.
That is
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sorry, that was 11 points of
11 points fire. Of damage, okay. Yeah. That was the first one. A. Okay. Anything else, Lapis?
I'm gonna climb back up.
Okay. Make a, since you're climbing hand over hand, make an athletics roll.
Oh, damn it. Well, that's good. That's a dirty 20.
You're good. You make it up 15 feet. Okay. So you're about 45 feet away from these guys. North, what are you doing?
How close are they right now?
They are currently about to leap over. Like, they're actually, moving across the webs that are attaching them to the ropes, and then leaping onto the bottoms. So about, they're about 40 feet away.
Hmm.
And you see, as the area that they're in from the Wilvin's light, you see that there's, the alcove that they are leaping from. And there's just, webbing everywhere. It's like their home. They're living in that alcove.
Okay, I'm just, I don't have much. I don't have much, and I am at a distance. I think I'm going to take my movement to move up the rope.
Okay.
Can I take my action to light my hooded lantern?
Yeah, you can. Yes. I need to make first when you're moving first. Make a athletics roll.
Can it be acrobatics?
It can be acrobatics. Yes.
Good, because that's a 12.
Okay, that's fine. You make it.
And
you take your action to light the lantern.
I want to light my hooded lantern and just drop it on the webbing.
Okay. Okay.
I want to set fire to that bitch.
Got it. It's going to be a attack roll to throw the lantern. So all you can do this time is you're using an item. So
you
get it lit, but you can't throw it yet.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, Orgoth.
Orgoth is going to put himself between the group and the encroaching creatures that don't look particularly. I don't know if they're intelligent, quote unquote, or not.
They look like their faces kind of look spider-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Orgoth is going to basically hang with one arm, so his other hand is free.
Yeah.
I'll hold an action to attack if anything gets within melee range. And Orgoth will yell out,
"The Chosen of Loth commands you to stand aside. We shall pass."
I don't know if they understand me, but I'm yelling it.
Make an intimidation roll.
Right. That could be good. That's an 11. Could I roll a 5?
Oh, no. That's so good. They give me a second. They kind of look at you strange, but they don't seem to understand what you're saying.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I'm gonna do then. Yeah. That's my turn.
Okay. Wilvin.
So Wilvin is going to retreat up his rope a little bit, and
make an acrobatics.
In doing so,
yes.
Okay. That is a 10.
Okay, it's fine. Make it up 15 feet.
Well, as he shuffles back up his rope. A little bit, he casts major image, and in this I can use a 20-foot cube, so if you'll allow me to make two things within that cube instead of one big thing.
Okay.
I'm gonna make two within that range scorpions, like massive 10-foot by 10-foot scorpion, 10-foot by whatever, 20, it doesn't matter. Is that kind of rest on the rope and between us and the spider likes, as if they're crawling on the rope, as if they're guarding, and this can make sounds and not massive ones, but it, so like they're screeching and their claws are clipping and their tails are like doing this like fucking try us bitch kind of performance, you know, as insects do.
Is there a saving throw for them?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
It's just
they see it. Okay.
Oh, against my spell save DC. Sorry. Investigation intelligence.
Okay. Oh yeah, they all fail. They have an intelligence of 7. And they kind of like are looking at the things and like, are you done with your turn, Wilvin?
Yes.
Okay. These creatures, they jump across, phew, and they are trying to swat at, like reach over and swat at the scorpions. You said there's 2 of them, right? Or just one large one?
Say that again?
Where are the scorpions? They're on the ropes, you said?
Yeah, as if they're like... They're crawling down with us as the spiders are coming up. So
they've
materialized like on like say like maybe 2 ropes, like straddling 2 as they scurry toward them.
Got it. They these creatures, they grab the ropes and coming up and they're swatting like their claws at the scorpions, and the scorpions are like making a big show. You basically held them off. What would you like to do? Let's just do a quick little like, we're still in combat, but y'all are just completely going ahead of them. They go after all 4 of you. You've climbed up away from the creatures. What are you going to do? Make a perception check, actually.
Big 15.
Okay.
Nat 20.
Nine with a nat 20.
8.
You see down below where it looks like there's about a 30-foot drop from the end of the rope, and it kind of hits another incline, a hard incline of rope, and it goes down and probably out into the abyss.
There's rope at the bottom.
It's like basically you see it comes down. There's like a 30-foot drop to an incline going down to a small cliff, but you can kind of see the floor of the cavern. You don't see any water, but you hear like water in the distance. But you're in. So sorry.
This is down where all the spider webs were?
No, the spider webs were in an alcove in the wall.
Oh, okay.
Like this, kind of, and it keeps going down.
And it keeps going down. So, but I'm basically trying to tell you, there's basically at the end of the ropes, there's another 30 feet drop.
It's like,
yeah. Yeah, like that, yeah.
Like you got the rope, and you got, like, the spiders are like,
exactly. Like, that's it, that's exactly like it, this. Yes. Yes. So what would you like to do? And you kind of like...
They descended, we descend. Yes?
Yeah. I'm still going to drop my hooded lantern on the webbing.
Okay. The webbing immediately just like goes up in the flames. And you hear screeching.
Because there's oil in that too, it's going to be funny.
Yeah, and you hear like kind of like there's like whatever creatures were left in there just immediately emoliate and are, you know, gone.
And I think we have to go down a bit again.
Wilvin, what do you
got? Are there still the ones that were there?
Yeah, like, what about the ones that are on the rope? The ones that are on the ropes are still there, but they're like kind of like.
They're distracted by the scorpions.
Yeah.
Is there one? So how far are we from the bottom of there's 30 feet from the bottom of the rope to the floor. How far up are we on the rope? You're
currently about 30 feet. 30 feet above from the end of the rope, 30 to 40 feet.
So we're like 60 feet from the floor.
Yeah, the bottom of the rope is about even with the alcove where the webbing was. It's all on fire now.
Right.
So you might be able to, that's sort of like where the incline starts. So you can try to maybe aim toward the, if you want to jump, you could aim for that incline.
I think that's a good moment for Featherfall. If we're going to just like throw ourselves off the ropes.
Yeah. Absolutely. If we decide to do that, Willem can have that ready.
I'd rather, if we're going to fight him, I'd rather have us be on the ground than the wall.
I'd rather us not fight and just find the other guys.
So let's just trust Paul.
The creatures. the creatures are called Ettercaps. The creatures swat at where the scorpions are and finally cutting at the ropes and trying to get the scorpions to just like fall off the ropes, but they don't fall. So they're like starting to climb up, and then suddenly you all leap past them into the abyss and Featherfall down past them, and they swipe at you and you land down below. They don't seem interested in following you since the fire is kind of like burning brightly right now, but what you land and you're at the edge of a little like basically like 15 foot cliff down into the main floor of the large cavern, and you see as you peer over the cavern, you see who is it? You see you see gals waiting at a big hole that's in the floor. Where those cracks are coming off of the hole. In the
floor. You said we heard water earlier?
Yeah, yeah. Like you can see off the distance, there's like some waterfalls off in the distance, but.
I want to make a, if possible, a perception check. Is he by himself?
He is by himself. Yes. He seems to be waiting. He's looking up at the fire currently burning, like with an amazement in the cliff.
What can I say? I like to make an entrance.
And he stands up. He's been like waiting. It's like, is north?
Yeah.
And as you get close to where Gals is standing, you see where it's like there's a cave in, basically where the hole is, you see water kind of lapping up at the edge of it.
Where is she?
We were fighting those things, and she fell. She hit and went straight through. And he points at the water. There's Io, Dermot, and Irvin took water-breathing potions and followed down.
And you waited?
For you all, yes.
How long ago?
Inside check.
Make an insight check.
There is the campaign in a nutshell. Yeah. Orgoth, the trusting fool. How long ago? Wilvin, insight check.
Understandable, very much so.
It's a dirty 20.
About 3 hours ago, which is about the time north when you had that message.
But yeah, was
trustworthy?
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's Wilvin seeing?
Wilvin is like
30-20.
Wilvin is like, Gals is like, kind of freaked out a little bit, but also not happy that they had to call for help. He's just like.
All right, I'm gonna go in the water.
You got one of these potions on you?
I don't need a potion.
Or one.
Oh, yeah, I got one.
I somehow attach Ashes, like have him bite Cassidy and have Butch bite onto Ashes' tail. So they're all connected, like conjoined. I'm like, all right, guys, let's go. And I jump inside the pool.
Shoot.
All right, boys, bottoms up.
Link glasses.
Okay. Gals takes his.
Yep.
Okay. Jumps in.
I'll drink mine.
Okay. You jump in. You go through about maybe 5 minutes of darkness.
As you want to note that the form of that dive was excellent.
Oh, I'm sure it was. And you just slowly sink. And you see below, suddenly there's like a blue light mixed with red. Mm-hmm. And then you come out into this huge cavern. You can see all of Kael Morrow below you. And I'm actually going to send you the player map from above.
Oof. Okay. And we've been to these places. Some of these places.
And you're floating down. You're currently floating down on the cliffside, like the southeastern part of the map. Ignore the five. This is not like 10-foot squares. These are like really a large, large area. You see down below to the west, you see this temple-like area. And you see this like red, golden glow coming from between these pillars.
Does it mean we're falling closer to the like residential district?
This is more like the remember I told you about that ridge you saw?
Yeah.
With the houses up on that ridge. You're falling closer to that area. So this is like far to the southeast. Okay, yeah. And you're falling. And you see Gals pointing toward one of these buildings. And you see the other members of the Rivals. And the roof. And there's a hole in the roof. And they're all kind of like gathered around the hole. Dermot, Io, and Irvin. And they're kind of like, you float down towards them. And can you start swimming that direction?
Yeah.
And you see the Rivals kind of like around it. And they kind of like do this like put their finger up to their mouth, like, shh, be quiet. And they point toward the hole. And inside the hole, you see where Maggie is unconscious underneath a lot of rubble. And floating in front of around this area is this large jellyfish that seems to be just like pulsing with red energy. And I will get you a picture of it. It's basically just almost as larger than a man. And it seems to be like floating casually. And Io's like whispering, gets close to everyone. It's like, we wanted to wait until backup got here. Gals told me that he contacted. We don't have a plan.
She didn't have that potion before falling, is she?
I don't know. She's not moving. She had healing potions on her. Maybe she... She had healing potions and water breathing potions. We all did.
Do you think she could have taken them before fall?
Maybe. I don't know. The gal says, it was almost like going through like thin ice when Maggie hit the ground. It just cracked and immediately, completely, just splash.
We've got to get the beast away from her at the very least, otherwise we're never getting her out of there.
This appears to be the house that you're on. It's like it's a 20-foot tall building, and it looks to be some sort of villa. Very well in its time, very well maintained. But it's definitely the second floor had collapsed at some point, so it's like it's a 20-foot drop down to the floor where Maggie is under the rubble.
So we're about 20 feet above that area, correct?
Yes, correct, yes.
Orgot's going to get his spear out because he's underwater.
I got to try to pull that proficient, so I'm just going to pull out my two rapiers.
I can go and distract this thing if you can get Maggie out of there or get down there. I mean, there's a lot of us now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. North, what
actually,
do you
need? Needle of Mending and a Fucus.
Okay. So what's the play? Io says. Do you want to get Maggie out? Like, everybody else distracts the creature. North, you get Maggie out of there?
I can't get her out of there.
Oh, maybe North and Dermot, because that way if Dermot, like, you can provide cover for Dermot, and then the both of you can get her out.
How? Have you seen these arms?
Dermot says,
they're sexy and everything, but like, you know, you're underwater. She's not going to be as heavy.
She's still going to be heavy.
That's why you've got Dermot.
It's also buoyant. We can float her. It's fine.
Isn't she wearing armor?
I'll cut it off if I have to.
Okay.
It's your, like, phase step thing.
Actually,
Orgoth like coils up.
Wait,
and he's getting ready.
I want to check a thing, but I'm
okay. I know.
Features and traits. I just want to see a thing about my season. I want to see my fucking face step. Come on, click.
Oh, it says creatures.
I can pop in there and charm it for a minute.
Ooh.
Do it.
Okay. Everyone get ready because we get one go at this.
Right. Orgoth is like coiled up, so he's ready to like push down like a missile. But see what North does.
Okay.
It's a wisdom throw 15, okay?
Okay.
And it's a teleport 30 feet. So I'm a wahoo.
Need to be on loading.
Anyways, I have to teleport there. So once I'm in there, if it doesn't work, I'm also in deep shit.
Okay. 11 minus 1, 10.
It's charmed for a minute. Let's go.
Phew.
Okay. It kind of like you float in. Vroom. You see Maggie kind of like the stuff over her. Her arm is like reached out. And she's like, you see her barely moving. You see she got an air bubble helmet over her head. And she's But
I'm going to give her a healing potion.
Okay.
Right the fuck away.
Okay.
Come on, come on, come on. Let's go, let's go.
Okay. She pull, like, you give her the healing potion. She wakes up. What happened?
Let's fucking go.
And she pulls her arm. And out of the rubble, she's holding this giant battle axe coated with rudium. And the rudium is going down her arm.
No!
And she kind of looks at you with these eyes. What's going on?
Maggie, we have to go.
Drop that. We gotta go.
Ophiuchus says, oh, that's my ex. No, my ex is what I meant to say.
I can't.
And suddenly, Maggie takes off. Boom. Like, swims out the front door, like, banging the door open.
Face step, baby.
Okay, and you're gonna chase her. Okay.
I'm gonna chase her.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm going.
Okay. Good luck with your final.
Thank you very much. Hopefully I finish it. Hopefully I finish it in 20 minutes so I can pop back.
Okay, we'll be waiting. We'll be waiting for you. Okay.
Good luck.
Have fun.
Bye.
Good luck.
Bye. Okay. And how long did she say the charm lasted for?
1 minute.
A minute.
Okay. It's a minute, y'all.
Okay. Okay. The creature is just kind of floating there. You see Maggie and Dermot chase after Maggie. What do y'all do? As the creature is just kind of floating there, the creature looks like it's basically just a bell jellyfish that's as large as, and it's huge. It has these long tentacles and looks like it has, I'm getting a closer look of it, like the tentacles appear to have like this red tinge to them, almost like there's like rudium inside the creature.
Is there a way that we can lock this thing somewhere without preventing it attacking us?
The picture that I just sent is this is kind of smaller than, it's about a little bit larger than a man sized right now, so.
Peep!
What do you do?
It's smaller than the picture.
Get out of it. We just gotta get away from it in the next minute or so before it comes back to its senses. Maybe if we can at least cut a visual tie, it won't chase us.
Io says, let's go. Let's see where they're, Maggie's going.
Oh, yeah. Can we go, like, off the roof?
Yeah, and we try to stay together.
Strangulate them?
Because you have, a high enough. You see that Maggie appears to be running for kind of swimming down off of the cliffside and appears to be running toward, like, swimming toward the temple area. But
right. On our map, that's the bottommost structure.
Tells me it's bad news if she gets there.
Yeah.
Well, let's go. Swim, 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 swim.
Okay.
As we swim, I'm gonna quickly give Irvin a little quick peck on the cheek and go, "Hey, what's up, babe?"
Hey. He's like. What's going on? We'll talk later.
Talk later.
Okay. And swimming. The creature, you get about 10 rounds of movement away from the building, and then suddenly the creature erupts out of this the roof, boom, and starts swimming after you. Let me check its movement real quick.
Way better than ours.
No,
it's faster than us.
Yeah, 20 feet actually. It's a jellyfish.
Well, we go half, don't we?
Yeah.
Don't we swim half?
Yeah. Well, unless you have a movement speed. Io has a movement speed.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, a
swim for speed. Io.
Yeah. Yeah. But
Io can probably catch Maggie.
Yeah. Io's going to catch up with Maggie and stuff. So, so after about, probably about like 2 minutes, the creature kind of like its tentacles reaching out toward you catches up to you. Did you get that? Bill, she's going to have to pop out of Zoom.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to log into Zoom?
Yeah. Just and hide the video.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. And then I'll put it back on if they have to leave.
Don't try this at home, kids. We're professionals.
Okay. The creature, like, seemingly just like quaking with fury, because of something that was stolen out of the room, is chasing after you, and it catches up to all of you. Roll initiative.
Oh, God.
Who saw that gun?
Okay. There we go. Yay. Okay.
Shit.
Oh, no. Okay. There we go. We're back to place. Lapis, what'd you get?
Nine.
Orgoth, what'd you get?
A 3, because I rolled a nat 1.
Okay, Wilvin, what'd you get?
7.
7.
Jesus!
Oh my god, okay.
It's okay, we got Dermot and Urban with us.
At least we're all in a group.
Okay. I'm gonna say Io, because she started chasing, but then she looked back and saw the creature catching up. Turn back and is heading back to chase after. She rushes after and makes a 3 swims, catches up, and makes 3 harpoon attacks on the creature, doing 11 points with 1 blow to the bell. And you just see, like, it kind of rips open a little bit. Like blood, reddish blood, crystalline blood coming out. The all the rivals, 21, 17, 14, 13. Well, Dermot's not there, but let's see. Galsaria. Okay. Galsaria. Galsariad casts a slow spell on the creature. This is, that can be done underwater, and it fails, and it is slowed. Okay. Irvin swims up to it and makes 2 dagger attacks, hitting for that many points of damage. Okay. Lapis, your turn. Irvin swims by, like, slashing with the dagger, and then kind of turns and looks at you, Lapis, and winks.
Oh, that's charming. Okay. she misses that stupid face. She is going to actually attempt to cast All right. She's going to attempt to cast Enervation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to need to make a wisdom save.
Okay.
Of 17.
Easy. Okay. That is a 15.
Ooh, so it takes 48 damage.
Okay. Let's see this one.
Oh, cool. Whenever the spell deals damage to a target, you regain hit points.
Woo. Nice.
I'm just gonna fucking roll it on here.
Okay.
Roll for shit, 14.
Okay. 14 damage. Okay. Anything else, Lapis?
No. I think whenever she does cast it for a second, everybody around her just sees like a blink of like inky darkness before it like comes back to view.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just coming out of her.
Cool, cool, cool. Okay. The death embrace, that's what these are called. The jellyfish. Irvin is right next to it. The creature flips out two tentacles and tries to wrap them around Irvin. That is a 19 plus an 11 plus. And this is, yeah, plus 10 to hit. Doing, and you see, like, as it wraps, the tentacles are wrapped around him, you see, like, this kind of red energy kind of, like, go up his body and his mind. His eyes kind of go white for a second. He's, like, shaking. And that was, God, 37 points of damage total.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Jesus, fuck.
Okay. And Irvin is grappled currently. Okay. Maggie is doing that. Wilvin, your turn.
Wilvin swims forward toward Dermot. Just seeing him get grappled. Dermot, stay with us! And has his two daggers
Irvin
out.
Irvin,
and he comes up and makes two. Oh, I'm sorry, Irvin, either way. Yeah. But he uses the right name when he says it. and he takes two dagger swipes at the tentacle that's holding him.
Okay. Make to hit.
One is a 14 to hit, and the other's a natural 20.
Both hit.
And one crits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That then is going to do 5, 4, 9, 13 points of damage.
Okay.
And as a bonus action, I'm going to cast Bardic Inspiration on Orgoth.
Okay.
And that's combat inspiration. Okay. Added to an ability check or your AC.
Okay, this is what happens when you strike out with the daggers on the tentacle. It uses a reaction called Body Shield, and basically it moves Irvin in the way, so your dagger strikes Irvin, and he takes the damage instead.
No!
I'm gonna shocked by that. Just... Fuck.
And so let me go back. Irvin takes 13 points. Okay. Anything else, Wilvin?
No, I guess that's it.
Okay, Orgoth.
All right, well, Orgoth is going to move into spear range.
Mm-hmm.
First attack, I'm going to...
Actually, no, because he's slowed, he can't take any actions.
Yay!
Oh, yeah!
Yeah,
oh,
so sweet. Reverse that. Okay.
Yay!
Excellent.
Okay. Go ahead, Orgoth.
I'm gonna use my first attack. This thing is big and scary. I will use a bonus action. I will knowingly call, not, this is the first time I think maybe he's done this, but knowingly taps into the connection that he's starting to have with Grumsh.
Yeah.
And will rage.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't happen to him. He makes it happen.
Got it.
Ugh. Yeah. So that's my first bonus action. Then I'm going to attack with the spear. I'm at disadvantage because thanks weird curse that I have. What happens with that? I got a lot of maths going on. Here we go. Let's see. The lower one of those is a 14 plus the spear plus 8, 22 to hit.
That hits easily.
Yeah. Okay. When I hit, I'm then going to use I'm going to expend a superiority die and do a disarming attack.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get it to drop Urban.
Okay.
Since he's holding him. If that works that way, we'll find out. So there's D. Oh, yeah. Oh, still a D8 because I'm using the spear. Okay. There's a. So from the spear, he takes.
Thank you for the sub, Nova.
Six. Thanks, Nova. Six piercing from the spear. The disarming attack adds another. I'm not rolling good today, kids. Adds another 2 damage.
Okay.
And it has to make a DC 15 strength saving throw or it will drop.
Drop. Okay. Okay. It has a plus 10 to this saving throw, strength saving throw. So this is a 21.
Nope, he holds on them.
Okay.
All right. Second attack. I'll do another spear. That's going to be a disadvantage. It's 16. Does that hit?
16 does hit. Yes.
Oh. Okay. Good. He's going to spend another superiority die to try to disarm again.
Okay.
So that is 5, 6, 7, it's 9 points of piercing.
Mm-hmm.
And another DC 15 strength save.
Okay. That is a 17 plus 10, 27.
Okay.
Yeah, the creature is just like it. The tentacles wrap around, and you see Irvin's eyes get kind of get bug out a second, and he's like, ugh.
Okay. That time when I hit, I will mark it as well. So I get good stuff for opportunity attacks. Mm-hmm. If it tries to do anything, I'm going to, add, can you add another 4 points of damage to that run? Cause I wasn't counting my rage damage.
Thank
I forgot.
It's
a new thing. It's still newish.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to, I've raged. I'm going to use my action surge and take 2 more attacks.
Okay.
First one.
So many attacks.
So many attacks. The first one is a 10.
10 misses. Hit. Yeah.
And
it bounces off its rubbery kind of like bell.
Yeah.
Of the jellyfish.
And the second one. Oh, that's good. The second one is a 22 to hit.
Yes.
And this time. I don't think that's going to work. I'm still going to try to make him drop him.
Okay.
Because if that works, that's great. You'll have to roll really bad, but yeah. I'll take the extra damage anyway. Ooh, there we go. 12, 13, 14.
So some high numbers.
15, so 18 points of piercing.
Nice.
Roll good. Okay. And he can make a DC 15 strength check.
Okay. That is a 17. Rolled a 7. Okay.
Okay. That's it. That's Orgoth's turn.
Okay. Io.
Impressive.
Okay. Is going to make another. She's swimming around trying to get to Irvin, and she makes two harpoon attacks, hitting once for 70 points of damage. Okay. Galsariad. You can't cast Gravity Wave because of Irvin being in the way. So he is. He can't do anything. Irvin. Okay. Irvin, you see him suddenly get, like, his skin starts turning a little gray. And he just, like, kind of, like, shakes. He's like, what's going on? And you see little, like, his fingers are turning gray and it's starting to kind of go up his arm as he's starting to turn to stone.
Oh, no.
Okay. The... And he is... He can make attacks. He's just at disadvantage. Missing. Lapis, your turn.
Fuck, seeing that. Oh, shit. I'm gonna get a little closer. Like 30 feet closer.
Okay.
And I'm going to... it's gonna be weird for me. Lapis is going to put her hands together kind of like in a prayer.
Uh-huh.
And around her are going to be like these tiny little stars, which immediately go over to Irvin. And that is casting life transference. So I'm sacrificing some of my life to give to him.
Oh. Nice.
So I'm going to...
Bill, could you hide your
Ooh, that's
just bad. Quit?
Yeah, just quit out of it. Yeah. Ooh. Welcome back. How was the test?
I beat my personal best, finished a final in 12 minutes.
Nice. And I'm very confident. Awesome.
It's gonna be an A plus.
Okay.
Nice. This is I take, you know, the damage. It says 4d8, but it forces me to do 5d8, so is 5d8 okay?
5d is fine. I think I don't know why it did that, but yeah, sure.
Yeah.
How many points?
Let's see. What creature of my choice?
Yeah.
You see within range regains a number of hit points equal to twice the necrotic damage I've taken. So 29. So twice of 29.
Okay. It does not stop the turning the stone.
No, but it does help, though.
Yes, it does heal him. Anything else, Lapis?
Shit, that's all I can do at the moment.
Okay. North will get to you after this fight. Okay. The creature, you see its tentacles, kind of like the tentacles that are holding Irvin, lifting him up and like into the bell. You know, like a jellyfish that are pulling it. But the tentacle has... Who's around? Orgoth's around.
And yeah. Io's around.
Io's around. Wilvin, you attacked, right? Melee attack. So...
With the daggers.
Yeah, so I'm going to say... one to Io, one to Wilvin. So one tentacle. That is a... 19 to hit you, Wilvin. Is 19 hit?
Yep, that'll do it.
You take 13 points of piercing damage. And 11 points of psychic damage as, like, you know, this red energy kind of, like, zaps up your body. I also need to, because you're in the, actually, it won't happen until next time. Okay, but you are grappled as it kind of, like, wrapping around you. And Io, it gets Io, 19, doing that many points of damage, and she is grappled as well. So Io, Irvin, and Wilvin are currently grappled. And after end of its turn, it needs to make another saving throw against the slow. And that is 13 plus 3, 16. I think that makes it against, let me check, Gal's DC. His spell save is 15. So yes, it is no longer slowed at the end of its turn. Wilvin, your turn.
Do I have to do anything for the grapple?
You're grappled. You can use your action to try to escape the grapple, or you can basically kind of pulling you into its kind of like area. It's like one of those creatures that can hold things in its space because it's so big. So Facey Ray, thank you for the raid.
Hell yeah, cool. Wilvin is going to like struggle. In doing so, I believe his action is that he's trying to get out of the grapple. So I'll roll for that. But as he's doing that, I think that underneath the tentacle, his hand starts to glow, and that glow spreads. Whatever that psychic zap was, I think it just like really like knocked him into like the stakes are high, a true fear. So I think his emotions are overwhelming, and he's. I'll roll for the grapple this turn, but he's glowing at this point.
It's an athletics roll, escape DC 16.
I rolled a 16 plus 5, so...
You get out, 21. You manage to, like, get the tentacle off of you and swim away.
But I think Wilvin feels that glow and kind of, like, has now has a moment of clarity to kind of, like, channel it and let it continue to build. And he looks at his hand, and it's traveling up his arm and out toward his other arm at this point. And he's just kind of like building this
energy,
this power.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the end of my turn.
Okay.
I'm going to do a bardic inspiration on North. I'm sorry, Lapis.
Lapis. Okay. Orgoth.
Seeing that everybody's getting sucked in by this thing, Wilvin gets out, but Orgoth like grips the spear tighter, grits his teeth, his eyes squint, blood starts coming out of his left eye and like floating in the water. He says,
"We've got to work together."
And on his arm, his tattoo changes into the form of the Skull Crusher skull that has the spider legs coming out of it and the red tear. And he goes in for another series of attacks on this thing.
Okay.
He's going to use a bonus action to feint, which will let me now just roll normally, because I would normally roll with advantage, but I don't, because I was rolling a disadvantage, so I will remove the disadvantage by using feint to do that.
Nice.
And that is a 23.
Hit, yes.
I will do that plus that. Yeah, there we go. 8 19 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
And I can add your bardic inspiration die for damage. Is that right, Woven?
Yes. It's a D8. Any ability check, attack roll, or saving throw.
Right.
So, excuse me, not the damage, but the I'm trying to look for my special one. My special brand.
Your special brand of die.
That is number rolled cereal to a weapon damage roll, or when an attack roll is made against you, you can use for your AC. So that you can't use for damage.
So, So there's a 7. All right. So far I've got 8 plus 4 for the weapon, which is 12, plus 2 for my rage, which is 14, plus 5 for the feint, which is 19, plus 7, which is 26. And then I am going to channel the kiss of the spider queen.
Got it.
So I will expend a hit die and do an additional 10 points of poison damage.
Okay. Woo. How would you like to defeat this giant jellyfish? As it's like grappling your friends. Yeah.
As the spear goes into the big overmantle, Orgot's hands glow with this like sickly green color that travels down the spear. When it gets to the spearhead, there's this moment of like dark crimson and this sickly green almost like fighting each other. And then they explode out and just like course through the entire mantle of the jellyfish,
mm-hmm.
and just saturate it in this kind of unearthly combination of grump plus loth energy, and it just like
the tentacles just away. Fall away. Irvin still has to make this saving throw because we're out of combat.
Come on, Irvin.
But Lapis, would you like to make this roll?
I would. Aww. Do I add anything to it?
Let me check. This is a con save, DC 16, and his con is a plus 4.
Okay. I rolled a 12, so
it's exactly 16. And you see like the granite start to form, and then suddenly as the tentacle gets pulled away, as the body kind of floats off the corpse of the jellyfish, floats off into the murky waters. Suddenly the dust kind of boom, fires off of his body, and he just kind of like collapses a little bit.
You're gonna go and grab him.
Okay. We're almost at the end, but I'm gonna switch to North real quick. North.
Hi there.
You're chasing after, you and Dermot are swimming after. You see Maggie holding this axe, and Dermot says, we were worried because she can't swim very well.
She looks like she's doing fine.
And she is moving. You've seen this before.
I've chased a man once.
Yes. Chasing, and they seem to be going toward the temple. And then they land and they look up at you, and then Ophiuchus is like, what? What? Come back! Serpents, come back! Come back now! And that's where we're going to stop for the day. So the axe is, that's Ophiuchus's X, an X axe. And thank you for all of the gift subs and the raids and everything.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you
so crazy. Much. What the heck?
Wow.
Nova, thank you. Thank you so much.
We were in the middle of a big fight. I didn't even see any of that happening because I have a lot of math. Oh my god, that's amazing!
It was like blowing up my like side monitor. I'm like, whoa! But thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything we need to talk about before we do a wrap up?
Yeah, good thing I had that spear, huh?
Well, let's go around and do our wrap up.
Hey everybody, this is Bill. I'm at Bill Roper or at Bill Freaking Roper on whatever social network I happen to stumble into. This was a crazy day. This is a crazy energy game today. And it's nice to see that it spilled over into our live Twitch stream. I'm gonna promote Twitch for people that are catching this on the VODs, or starting next year probably on the podcast version that Ron and I are cooking up for this, for our audio friends. But hey, we encourage you to come hang out with us in Twitch. And while we play, we are pretty interactive for people trying to figure out math in the middle of a fight. So thank you everybody for coming, hanging out, being here with us while we do this insanity. And oh my God, that's such a good time. We've all been going through withdrawals because we had a week off. So super happy to see all these happy faces around the table.
I have chocolate in my mouth.
chocolate.
Whose fault is that?
I guess it's mine, but ultimately it's yours for not stopping me. Hey everyone, this is Jaden. I was playing Lapis. You know what? I'm good. I'm good today. I think I'll pass it on to you.
Yeah, cool. Keep eating your chocolate.
Easy to follow. What's up, y'all? This is Ross. Thank you for dealing again with some of my slow internet issues today. I'm glad I could at least be here in audio. And I fucking love these puppets, man. We get good use out of them, but like I look forward to seeing them when someone isn't here. I miss them, but I'm happy to see the puppets. So, anybody who joined us today, and it's not involved in our Discord, I think it's a great place. Please come join us there. You can find that in any of our social media. We have a link tree inevitably in the bio, and that can take you to everything that we have. Pressing the Discord, I'm in there every day. We're all in there every day. Just because it's a fun place to be, and I love it, and I hope you decide to join us. But thanks for watching today. Thanks for listening, however you're indulging. We appreciate you. Find me on socials at GriffRM, probably just Instagram.
Hey, everyone. This is Jamie Evan playing North Liadin Roglock. You can find me on the socials at SteelcladVicar. And you know what? Normally, I plug the Patreon, but I just want to say, hey, I finished my semester! That's my Ben falling in the background.
Yay!
I'm starting over next fucking month, but no, don't talk about that. I'm just happy to be here. I missed you guys.
And my name is Ron Murphy, and please, you can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky and Instagram at Ron88Keys or Ron88Keys RBDM. Please follow us on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, Facebook at Severed Sons D&D. You can find the Severed Sons Rhyme of the Frostmaiden podcast on any podcasting platform. Share us with all your friends. This episode will be on YouTube and on the podcast the week after it airs. Just like Critical Role does it. So they set a good example. Thank you to join. We have our Patreon. And early access episodes, a whole lot more. Thank you to Wizards of the Coast, Gang Critical Role, and all our listeners and our fans. Keep on rolling, everyone. And bye.
Bye. Oh, yeah. Bye-bye. Heck you, ass bro.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Eat your veggies. Bye.
Hey, y'all. If the last 2 years have taught me anything, other than the fact that I'm never actually going to make sourdough bread at home, it's that human beings thrive in communities of like-minded people. We may not be able to see the people we care about every day, but the internet has ways to bridge the gap. That's why I'm inviting you to join the Severed Sons Discord, where members of our awesome community talk about whatever's on their minds. Anime, video games, art, theater, D&D, of course, and very serious channels like Zach's Saggy Curtain and Josh's Squeaky Chair. I'm tearing up already. The Severed Sons Discord is a way for all of us to connect in a time when Zoom calls are tough to schedule, but apps are easy to open. You can find a link to our Discord in the link tree in our Twitter bio. We hope to see you in the server. Until then, stay frosty.